Our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke's Gospel, from the third chapter, beginning with verse 15. If you are able, I would invite you to stand. Luke writes these words for us. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts whether John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered them all by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my Son, the Beloved. With you, I am well pleased. May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day. For they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the words of Luke, for their teaching and claim upon our daily lives and living. And now, O God, in these moments that we share together, give us a sense of peace and rest and comfort from the activities of daily life and living, those things past, present, and yet to come. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. I remember growing up in our home when we were quite young and pre-even elementary school, our basement was one big concrete rectangle. Oh, in one corner the washer and dryer were, and the other area is where the garage was, and the car would come in, and then it was just wide open. And it was kind of nice in the wintertime when Dad was at work and the car wasn't there, we would ride around in circles on our tricycles. Well, then things began to change, and a wall was put in to divide the garage off in the car, and then a laundry room, and then, kind of a corner, and that corner had a big old shelf that, I just remember we weren't really to go there because it was full of all types of old paints and gook. Well, that later on, that junky corner became where the fireplace was built. And I remember when that fireplace was built and that old wall became a solid red brick wall with that fireplace, and we had to wait a while before we could burn our first fire in the fireplace. And I remember when that night came, my dad went out and got a little grill off an old charcoal grill, you know, one of those $2 round ones, and set it on a couple bricks and got some kindling wood, and that's what we burned for our first fire. Well, there's been 40 years, 50 years of fires in that room since then. Fires, they're attractive. How many of us love to either have a fireplace in our homes and to prop our feet up and to just enjoy the warmth, or when we're out camping and build that fireplace and just kind of stare into it and watch the embers and the flickering and enjoy that smell of the smoke every once in a while? I remember my dad built Leanna and I a fire. Well, she said to me, "Oh, I thought you were going to tell them that that led to our first kiss." Now I'm having a trip down memory lane. But that fire that my dad built and then left it to the two of us is what started us on the road of dating and our relationship. But, you know, Leanna would also tell you that fires are not always fascinating because, you know, it's coming up here on the anniversary of here in a few weeks where their whole house was burning in a raging fire when she was 12 years old. And she remembers being in school with her two younger sisters and to this day can tell you the name of that elderly churchwoman that came to get them out of school and how to this day she despises that woman. The three, Leanna and her two sisters, are lined up in the hallway and this woman looks at them and says, "Oh," and just fell to tears. And Leanna's first response is, "Are my mom and dad okay?" Because she thought they were all killed. They just lost everything. Their parsonage in Johnsonburg was on fire. And then to her mom and dad, can you believe it? Left them that night with church ladies because my mother-in-law decided to go into labor. Yeah. You've lost everything. I mean, literally everything. And Luana goes into labor. And that night, then, the fourth girl was born, and they called her Joy after Joy in the Morning. But I'm told with fires, there's an elite group of firefighters called smoke jumpers. They're the ones that go to those incredible hot spots, and they parachute in. And they have some incredible skills at fighting fires. But it's also an incredibly risky job. And they don't always come out alive. And there are stories where they've lined up along a ridge in Colorado. This was Storm Mountain in Colorado years ago. And the fire was in the bottom of the hill and the wind decided to change and its speed changed. And fire has that odd ability that it's probably the only thing that goes uphill faster than it does downhill. You and I run faster downhill than we do uphill, as does all, probably most of life. And as these men were trying to get away from this fire as it was coming up the hillside, they just couldn't escape. And so they did what they're trained to do. They got out those emergency blankets and got covered. But it was too much for a group of them, and they found them later on under those foil emergency blankets, but they had perished. A similar disaster happened in another hillside with the smoke jumpers, a remote area of Montana. It was years previous to this, but an interesting thing occurred out of this event. 12 men lost their lives when the wind also whipped up a small fire and it began to roar up the hillside. And a group of men, knowing that they could not outrun it, began to search for what they could do. And the leader of the group, they all thought he was nuts and crazy, he started a fire. And it burned the opposite direction towards the raging fire. And he tried to get his group of men to come with him, but they thought he was crazy, and only about four who were able to get into the already burned out area were able to live and to survive. That so-called second started fire was what has now been called a safety fire. Sometimes we realize that fighting fire with fire is the way to go. Fighting fire with fire, most of us would never dream of doing such a thing. We think that fire is something that you get rid of by shooting it with water or throwing dirt on it or salt or baking soda or the fire extinguisher. But sometimes when those flames are life-threatening and lashing out at our heels, the only survival strategy is to fight fire with fire. Today's gospel lesson from Luke demonstrates that at the very start of Jesus' ministry, we have him when he's born. We have him when he's a couple years old when the wise men come. We know the stories when he's 12 years old and lost in the temple. And then from 12 to 30, we have that silent time. But as his big opening event today, the celebration of his baptism, images of both tragedy and triumph are present. Coming Messiah is portrayed by John the Baptist as one who will experience an unquenchable fire. But there's also another fire burning in the mission and ministry of Jesus Christ. The words spoken by that heavenly voice at the time that Jesus was in prayer after his baptism, when that voice said, "This is my beloved." And we're reminded of words from Isaiah that refer to Jesus as the suffering servant. But in suffering, there's also that power and that holy presence of that unquenchable fire. A bruised reed he will not break. A dimly lit burning wick he will not quench. There's only one force powerful enough to snuff out those firestorms that are overwhelming the world today. And that's the fire of a life that is sent ablaze by God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yielding our, excuse me. Yielding our lives to Jesus Christ and becoming disciples sets ablaze within the presence of each and every one of us an unquenchable fire through the power and the presence of God's Holy Spirit. And that, my friends, is the way then that we are enabled as God's church, as God's disciples, to fight the fires that surround us in our daily lives and living within the world of disease and death and destruction. Those who are touched by this holy presence of Almighty God are called then in our mission and ministry to be fired up for the mission and ministry of Jesus Christ. When we catch hold of the fire, when we allow the fire of Christ to catch hold of us, we are called to be disciples every single day that fight the fires within the world, the fires of faith. It is our hope and prayer that we will set the world on fire for justice and peace and hope, compassion, grace, forgiveness, and truth. As we come together and celebrate this baptism of Jesus Christ and our baptisms as well, may we feel that presence of Christ once again in our hearts, our minds, and in our spirits. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the teachings in Luke's gospel for us this day. The presence of this Holy One is, always has been, and always will be in our midst. Oh God, we pray that His presence might burn within each and every one of us, that we might be faithful servants and disciples to the world. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen.